Hallelujah. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we worship you and we praise you. I thank you that we've been so blessed already this morning, sharing worship together, sharing communion together, sharing fellowship together. And I thank you that it's now time to share the word together. We thank you for your truths. We thank you for Holy Scripture, literally breathed by you. We thank you that it's there to change our lives, it's there to renew our minds, it's there to change our way of thinking, to change our life. And we thank you for the power held within this word, held within these seeds. So we thank you that we're about to plant some seeds. I just pray that these seeds get in. I pray for open ears, open minds, that these seeds get in. I pray for good ground in the hearts of the people listening, so that the seeds will penetrate. And I pray for understanding, so that the enemy can't steal it away. Because we all want fruit. We all want to see great fruit in our lives. So I pray for understanding right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Week 4 of the danger of staying offended. We've had 3 challenging messages. Hopefully this is going to be an encouraging one. Got a few ouchy bits, but never mind. I think the most powerful bit about the teaching so far has been the picture of offense being this mousetrap. You know, the enemy puts bait on the mousetrap. What could it be? Drivers cutting you up in the roundabout. Opposition team scoring a goal just after the start of the second half when your defence is not ready. People, there's loads of ways to get offended. The enemy knows how to bait our mousetrap, and if we take that bait, we remove the trap stick. Remember, that was the literal meaning of this word, to get offended, scandalon. Removes the trap stick and bang, the bar comes right over and can kill you in terms of missing out on abundant life and missing out on blessings. But I tell you what, people, offense can literally kill. I mean, we saw last week about people, disciples, was it just last week? Disciples getting offended at Jesus and walking away. What could be one of the results of walking away from Jesus? I tell you what, sickness and poverty and death. Now, we want that abundant life that he came to give us. One way to get that is nay to be offended. Or rather, nay to stay offended. Because Jesus said, it is impossible for you for offense not to come along. Now, he's speaking to his disciples. It's impossible for offense nay to come along. If you encounter people in your daily life, you are going to have the opportunity to get offended and to be offensive. Told you it was our responsibility not to get offended. It's also our responsibility not to offend. But it does happen, so what we need to do is get out of offense. And we're going to start looking at that today. I'm going to go back over the last 2 messages, because you should have been learning already how not to be offended, how not to stay offended. Because the last 2 weeks I've been telling you how you get offended and how you stay offended. So if I tell you in a way how to get offended and stay offended, you just do the opposite. I'm going to go back over a few things for the last 2 weeks, because if we see how we get offended and we don't do that, that means we don't get offended. Can you see the logic? It's easy. Simple, but not that easy. It can be hard. Don't you know brothers and sisters can be really offensive and can really hurt you, and it can be really hard to get over that? We'll look at ways which will make it easier. So, guess which verse I'm going to go to first? Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119, 165. I've used this every message. It's a kind of, I would say, cornerstone, foundation stone. Everything, I believe, comes back to this. Whenever we look at different ways of getting offended, we can take it back to this. Great peace of they which love the law. Great peace of they which love the scriptures that are available to them, is another way we could write this one. So in the context today, great peace of they which love the Bible. Love the Bible. If you love it, you will meditate in it. You will read it. You will study it. You will understand it. You will believe it. Yep, Vic's back on preaching about the word. Every week, folks. Eh? What happens when we do that? And nothing shall offend them. That Hebrew word's great for nothing. Do you know what it means? Nothing. Nothing shall offend them. There is a way to live in this life having no offense. There is a way to live your life with no offense. Now, I'm not standing up here and saying I've got there, but I can tell you there is a way to live your life when you have, you can get less offense, and you can get offended less, and less, and less, and less. And you can map it, if you wanted to, with how you love the word. The more you love the word, understand it, get in it. This is nae just for an hour on a Sunday morning. If that's what you think about the word, you're not going to have peace and you're going to get offended. That's what the word says. It's not just for a Sunday morning, it's for all the time. If you love it, you'll be in it, you'll be meditating on it, you'll be studying it, you'll be talking about it. I mean, it's like, whenever me and Nunzi talk about something, it just seems to come round to the word. We're going to the gym, all we'll talk about the word. Talk about the message. You know, it just, we're walking along a beach, it seems, we seem to start talking about the word. Just, get a love of the word in your heart. It will help you to stop being offended. That is what the word says. Love the law. Love the scriptures that you have available to you. We could translate that as. For us, love the Bible, love the scriptures. And nothing shall offend you. What I take out of that for me is when I get offended, there's something in here that I've not quite understood. I've not got. There's something extra I need to get out of the scriptures. You know, I need to sit down with the Holy Spirit and with this book, this Bible, his seeds, and find out what was it that I'm missing that has caused me to get offended. Because the word says if I love it, I will not be offended. So there's obviously something in there I didn't love, I haven't got, I haven't understood. Can you see that logic? And just about everything I say for the rest of the day comes back to that. Yes, we are a word-based church here. But that's because the word says we should be. But you would say that, Vic, because you're a word-based church. But that's what the word says. Do you believe this or do you not? You know, if you didn't, it's just like, I don't know where to go. I don't know where to go. Yes, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us, but he guides us in all truth. Guides us in all truth. That's the scriptures. Lack of knowledge of the word leads to getting offended. So how do I stop getting offended? Get mere knowledge of the word. Numero uno. Psalm 190, 165. Learn your word. We then looked at Mark 4, verses 14 to 17. This was in week two, when I was showing you why we get offended. And the sower soweth the seed, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown in stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. Listen, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, you could kind of say offense, ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. People get offended, believers get offended because they haven't got a good root system. They haven't got good foundations in the faith. What does that come back to? Not knowing the word. I'm getting offended. I must be immature in some area. That's what means not having a root system, not having good foundations. It's about maturity. We looked at us in week two. A good sign of being a mature Christian is having the ability and the willingness to say, I'm immature. Sounds like an oxymoron, but it's not. Being able to say to yourself, what am I missing? What part of my root system is not there? What part of the foundational, fundamental truths don't I understand that is causing me to get offended? I talked about unconditional forgiveness. Man, do people get offended when I talk about unconditional forgiveness. Yeah, because they don't have that root, a good root system based on the word of the foundational truth of absolute and unconditional forgiveness. And they get offended. Walk out of my meetings and they come back. There's probably more that have done that than there is here. Immaturity. Lack of a root system. So how do we stop getting offended? Develop your root system. How do I do that, Vic? Get into the word. Back to the first solution to the problem. You see, it's no rocket science. Get deeper roots. The third one that I spoke about took me a little bit longer to kind of meditate this one out, study this one out. Let's go to Mark 6. But this was the third reason I told you about in week two about how we get offended. And it's Mark 6, verse 3. Is not this the carpenter? The son of Mary? Is that nae Vic that works at the distilleries? Maggie and Vic's loon. Is that nae the Avis? I haven't good ever come out of Avis. Till now. Is not this the... A lot of good things come out of Avis. Big parish Avis. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon, and are not our sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Probably before he even opened his mouth. Yeah, when I open my mouth, I give folk a lot of chance to get offended at me. But you know what? There are folk who get offended before I even speak. It's familiarity. Who's he? That boy Fiavis who's never been to Bible college. And yet he's trying to tell us. And I was kind of trying to think of an example. And you know what? It's not just the familiarity thing. I didn't enlarge on it in week two. It's making it personal. It's a personal thing. It's looking at the person rather than looking at the message. And then the Lord said, yeah, just like the way you used to think about Andrew Womack, Vic. I don't need any guy from America coming to tell me what to think. It's what I used to say and what I used to think. So what was the problem there? I wasn't listening to the message. I was looking at the man. I mean, back then, before I was enlightened, you know, I didn't think much of Americans, full stop. There's some great ones now. Love them. Great steaks. Love the country. Love it. Been there a couple of times. Love it. Love the people. But back in my prejudiced pre-grace days, I didn't want any American coming telling me what to think. Even though it was the message of truth that would set me free. Hallelujah, praise God. Eventually I got past the man, listened to my wife, and listened to the teaching. Yeah, she was right again. Gets it first every time. But that spoke to me about this passage. It was, how do you stop getting offended? Get past the person, get past the personality, and look at the message. But, you know, Eventually, if you listen to the message, they might be talking nonsense. But at least give them a chance. Don't not listen to them just because he's from America, or just because he's from Arvis, or just because he went to Forest Academy. You know, get past the person and listen to the message. That's one way to stop being offended. See, when I stop being offended at the man and listen to the message, like I say, it changed my life. It changed my family's lives. Honestly, it's changed your lives because you're sitting here. If I hadn't got past that offense, I'd maybe be here. So get past the personality, stop looking at the person, and look at the message. Remember, I talked a little bit about that last week when we were talking about getting offended. And it's to stop looking at the person who's offending you and think, why is the enemy doing this? What's the bait? Why has he set that mousetrap to get me? What's he trying to steal, kill, and destroy? Take people out of it. Take personality out of it. Stop saying, why did he do that to me? And think, what's the enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy in my life? So it's the kind of same thing. Get the personality out of it. Stop looking at the person and start looking at the message. Or start looking at whatever's offending you. And then last week, oh no, I've got another one. I spoke about grace being offensive. The gospel being offensive. How'd you get away for that? Understand your Bible and see the true nature of God. Get an understanding of grace. Get a revelation of grace. Actually understand the gospel. Understand the gospel in its right context, whatever. Understand the gospel in the right way, and it will help you to stop getting offended. Tell me, how do I understand the gospel, Vic? How do I understand the message of grace? What's the easy answer? Get into the Word. So it goes back to that again. If you could know more truths about the gospel, the actual real message. You know, the gospel means good news. It doesn't mean sickness. Grace is the good news. Actually, the Greek word for gospel literally means the too good, almost too good to be true news. Because it is almost too good to be true. So it doesn't matter what I've done. Well, not in the eyes of God. It might affect your life. But in the eyes of God, it is almost too good to be true. So what? All that stuff that I've done in the past has been forgiven and forgotten. And God's not got a problem with his memory. He chooses to forgive and forget. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Their sins and iniquities I will choose not to remember. Understand that, you've got a lot less chance of being offended, especially at God. And then last week, we'll look at the things that we looked at last week, how we're going to stop being offended. For those ones, we looked at the three ways we get offended at people. There were the three types of offense. The first one was non-existent or imaginary. The second one was non-intentional or accidental. You know what the solution there is? Put your big boy's pants up and get on with it. Oh, sorry, was that subtle enough for you? If the offense is not real or the offense is accidental, get over it. Get on with your life. Don't even give it a second thought. Put your big boy's pants on. It might be hard for you to hear that, but you know, it's common sense as well. If there wasn't an offense there, what are you getting offended for? Let it go. You didn't shake my hand, Pastor. Because I was busy. Then I didn't like you. Let it go. Accidental, non-intentional. Was it Pastor Dwayne says, when you do? That's an accidental offense to ladies. Yeah, oh, yeah, you're 50 this year, Vic. No. I'm only 48. Get over it, Vic. That was an accident. You didn't mean to be offensive. I can't go into any deep theological, biblical argument over this. But it's just good common sense. If the offence wasn't even there in the first place, if you've just imagined it, and if the offence was accidental, let it go. Just let it go. And then we looked at the intentional one. This is the third one with people. How are we going to deal with this? Well, we deal with this by, like I said, taking the personalities out of it. If someone in the body of Christ has been deliberately offensive and deliberately trying to hurt you, you know what? I would be pretty certain to say that's the enemy trying to have a go at you, trying to set that bait. So think on it in that context. What's the enemy trying to steal, kill, or destroy here? How's the enemy using that person to have a go at me? You know, it's not that that person is a possessed. You know, then let's not start going down that road. Well, they might be, but probably not. They're probably just being influenced. And I would say every single person in this room is being influenced by the enemy. Absolutely not. Everybody's possessed, but we might be being influenced. So get over the personality thing and analyze it. What are they trying to steal, kill, or destroy? How's this offense getting at me? What part of the word don't I understand? What part of me is not quite mature? What do I need to study up? And then get on with it. What is he trying to steal, kill, and destroy? I then spoke about the four issues that we have about getting offended at God. If you weren't here last week, don't sit there and say, well, I won't get offended at God, I'm a believer. Yeah, believers walked away from Jesus. Disciples walked away from Jesus when they got offended. I said that believers get offended because they don't have a revelation about the true nature of God. How are we going to solve that? Yeah. Believers don't have a revelation about persecution and Christian suffering. How do you get over that? End of the word. Don't have a revelation of what happened at the cross. Don't have a revelation of grace. Know your word. Rightly divide your word. Get into it. De-summon a Buddha. I just can't study them all. And we'll get a self-help group together. I was going to say, just get your finger out and do something about it. Just do something. Oh, you know, I can't read. Well, listen. I just can't read the word. Listen to it then. I haven't got the time. We'll not get down there. You've got lots of time with the other stuff. How many hours is there in a week? 168? You know, we've all got time where we can get into the word, where we can study the word. It's your choice. There are lots of great teachers out there. There's amazing teachers of the word out there. You've got two of the best here. Amen. I'm obviously second best. And Murray. You know what? There's biblical courses out there. Dave and Chris are still working on it. Stewie's working on these amazing courses out there. Folk are doing it. Rightly divide your word. Books, CDs, lots of teachers out there. Start your own Bible study group. Study and learn. I know some of you will not like it because it takes time and effort. And we're not into microwave Christianity here. It doesn't work like that. You can't just put it in a microwave, ping, and get me to do something for you, and 30 seconds later, that's it. I can help you, I can start the process. But if you want to have less offense in your life, you need to love the word more. And that means study and meditation. You know, I don't know how many times I'm going to say that today. That's the answer. What else did we look at last week? Romans 8:6. How do we stop being offended? 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How am I going to help myself stop getting offended? Be more spiritually minded. Be less carnally minded. It's easy. Easy to say. It's not rocket science. See if you I'm not telling you to do this religiously. But see if you analysed every time you got offended. I bet you every time it would be over a carnal issue. Every time. Why can you say that, Vic? Because everything is good in the spiritual. There's nothing wrong with the spirit. There's nothing to offend you in the spirit. Nothing to offend you in the spiritual. The only way you can get offended is if you're in the carnal. If you're thinking spiritually, spiritual things, I mean, you can't be offended. You analyze why you're getting offended every single time. It will be to do with our carnality. Psalm 119, 165, remember, it says, great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they, nothing shall offend them. What results from thinking spiritually? Life and peace. Oh, peace! Oh, well, if I've got peace, that results in not being offended. Oh, how can I get peace? Think spiritually. How am I going to get lack of peace? Think carnally. What's that going to result in? Offense and death. It isn't hard to understand this. How do I stop being offended? Get peace manifest in my life. How am I going to do that? Well, let's look at another scripture. Let's look at Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Keep your mind on the Lord. Now, what's a great way of doing that? Getting into the scriptures. Oh, we're back at the word again, Vic. Well, surprise, surprise. Get into the word. Get your mind focused on him and on things of him. That results in peace. No offense. Think spiritually. That results in peace. No offense. You know, this is really easy, guys. Get into the word. Improve that relationship with him. Have time with him in the word and in prayer. And while you're doing that, you can't be offended. And that kind of lasts. You know, it has an effect. When you're doing that, you're renewing your mind. But when you're doing that, there's that residual effect as you kind of go about your life and you start walking around Asda. You know, if you walk into Asda in a carnal frame of mind, boy, it's a great place to get offended. But, you know, if you walk into Asda having just had an hour in the Word or something, having your mind focused on him, go in with a bit of peace manifest in your life, there's going to be a lot less chance of getting offended. It's nae hard. Easy stuff. Focus on the things of the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Walk in the spirit, Paul's tell the Galatians. If you're in the spirit, you'll not get offended. Offense comes through the carnal realm. Offense comes from being in the flesh and not in the spirit. Now that's all kind of general, isn't it? But it's good advice. I want to just finish today, looking at four sort of specific things that I've taken out of this teaching that I've been studying for the last couple of months, or working on for a wee while. And next week I'm going to finish this by looking at forgiveness. Because it's like, I'm trying to think of the picture of the mousetrap. If the bait and then the trap stick is offense, the bar breaking your neck and killing you is unforgiveness. If you can get over that, if you can forgive people, the bar won't come over. I want to talk about four things that have been helping me over the last couple of weeks. All that stuff's been general, hasn't it? Get into the word, get into the word, get into the spirit. But it's four things I want to cover just to finish. I'll just read them out now and then cover them quickly. The first one, and I've spoken to a few people about this already this week. Go into all your relationships with people with a servant heart. Go into relationships with people with a servant heart. Be thankful in all circumstances is the second thing. Third, look forward and not back. And here's a good one. Fourth, don't think of yourself as judge and jury. So what do I mean by those? Go into all relationships with a servant heart. When I listened to the teaching on this first, the chap said, have no expectations of people. Now, I kind of got that to some extent, but then I don't think that's the full thing here. I mean, I'm a pastor. It's like, when I come in here on a Sunday morning, I expect it to be set up. I have expectations of certain people. I expect the worship to be done. I expect the drumming to be played. We do have expectations of people, but I prefer to term it as this, be in relationships with people with a servant heart. What do I mean by that, Vic? What I mean by it is, expect yourself to come second instead of first when you're in relationships with people. Expect to serve rather than be served. Expect to help rather than be helped. Expect to give rather than receive. Expect to be the servant rather than the master. And I've been trying to put that into practice the last couple of days. And you'd be amazed how it works. If you go in here, I'm using Asda again. And this is conscious. I said, right, I'm going to do my shopping. It's 1 o'clock on a Friday. It's really busy. I hate going into Asda at that time. You know what? Let's go in there with this servant. You're going to be preaching about it on Sunday. You know? So I'm not a do as I say, not as I do. So let's see how this works. Go into Asda with this servant heart. And just go around as if you want to help, if you don't want to be first. You know, and it's amazing how it works. You've got a small space. What would you normally do? There's a person coming this way. You're going that way. There's a small space. I'm getting through there first. And you get offended when they beat you. And you can crash trolleys. People get in your way. You can get offended. See, if you get in there with a servant heart mentality, and as you're getting to that small gap, just slow down, just step back a bit, let the person through, and then you know what? You get a smile. Thank you. And you're on your way to the milk aisle. No offense. The other place where it worked, where I quite often in the past have got offended, is that little bridge at the corner at Allerburn. Going out for Elgin. See? People go out for Elgin towards Mastowie. And you go past the care home. And then there's a bridge. And it's a left-hand bridge. And it's one lane. And you're driving out the town. And you see the car coming over there. And they're about the same distance from the bridge. So you just hold back. And you let them through. I mean, now there's signs there. But still, I'd be driving up to that sign saying, that sign's it's my right of way, it's my right of way, it's my right of way. Can you see the effect that could have on your life if we just didn't have this grief of green light, that's going to go red soon, that's going to go red soon. And you're going that fast, you kind of stop and you jump the lights. Or other people doing it, you get offended. Slow down, let them pass. Let the wifey in the trolley with this desperate to get there first, let them come first. What's the problem? How long did it take you? 3 seconds? And you go and get your milk with no offense. You might think they're silly examples, but it's just having that mentality of not always needing to get there first and needing to do that first, because you know what happens when you don't come first? They offend you. And you get offended. because you've just missed out on an expectation. You've had a need missed, and you're going to get angry and you're going to get upset. If you don't have that need in the first place, there's going to be no anger, no upset, no offense. Servant heart. Servant mentality. And you know what, guys? It works amazing at a football match. And you can actually appreciate some of the other teams' play. I'm not gonna get offended. That was really good. I'm not gonna get offended at them. And people all around you are going nuts. And that happens in the world. People around us going nuts. If we go nuts with them, we're gonna get offended. I don't know if I'm explaining it well enough. I don't think I've got to the bottom of this myself, but it's go into relationships as a servant and not with an expectation of being served. Now, there are relationships if it's boss or whatever, if you're the boss of somebody, if you're the pastor. Now, there are relationships where you have expectations of people and people have to do stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. It's this one-to-one relationships. It's like thinking of that person instead of you. Yeah. Oh, just let them through the gap. What does it matter? You don't have to get there first. Yeah. I pity a few of those folk didn't have that kind of heart when they had that Black Friday or whatever it was called. What was that? Fighting our tellies. Oh, no, you have it. No, you have it. No, you have it. There's not a lot of that going on, was there? Servant heart with people. And be thankful in all circumstances. It's like, I can't remember, somebody at the back today said, it's funny if people always seem to ask you the score when your team gets beat. You know, they never ask you when you win 10-0. What was the score? Oh, it was 1-0. Oh, never mind, you had a nice day out. Who said that to me? Oh, it was Dave. David. Oh, never mind, you had a nice day out. Yeah, be thankful in all circumstances. The lovely day out. Got a chance to speak about church and the Lord with a few people. Got a chance to chat with the guys. The world is falling around your ears. People are being offensive left, right, and center. But you know what? You've been saved, forgiven, and made righteous. Can you be thankful for that? Be thankful in all circumstances. If you're living a life of thankfulness, it is so much harder to get offended. Look forward and not back. Don't dwell on the past. Don't dwell on the people that have jumped the lights. Don't dwell on the people that have cut you up at the roundabout. Don't dwell on the people that bang into your ankles with a trolley at Asda. Don't look back. Don't look back in anger. Don't look back. I asked Nunzi, I said, what's that verse? I asked Nunzi this morning. If you go to Hebrews 11, verse 15, slightly different context, but we're talking about don't go back to things. You know, we've all got things that have happened in the past that we could probably feel quite just in getting angry about and getting upset about people. But don't go to it. Don't go back. Hebrews 11, 15, talking about Abraham and Sarah, they'd left their country to go on amazing things that God had planned for them. They wouldn't have got those amazing things if they'd gone back to the country where they were. And 11:15 says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Now that word country is not in the original Greek. It's italics in my Bible. So it's not in the original Greek, it's been added by the translators. So if you look at the Greek, it would say, and truly, if they had been mindful of that from whence they came out, so if they'd been mindful, let's talk about us, if we'd been mindful of coming out of hurts and fears and anxieties that had caused us problems, or offences, thinking about people's offences, if we are mindful of that, if we think about it, if we focus on it, we would have the opportunity to go back. So we're having the opportunity to go back and get offended again. If we're mindful of that, we have the opportunity to go back. What does the opposite mean? If we're not mindful of that, We'll never go back, and we'll just keep going forward. So if we never think on the offences that have happened to us in the past, we will never have the opportunity to go back there and get re-offended. Do you see that? Keep looking forward. Here's another truth. Every single time when you have been offended is always in the past. Isn't it? Even if you get offended right now, it's in the past now. Might be 5 seconds, but it's in the past. Don't look back. What does Paul say? Pressing forward to the prize of the high calling. Keep going forward. Stop looking back. Oh, I remember that time when. Oh, I remember that time when he did that. Do you remember that time he did that? Do you remember that time he did that? You know, not only do we keep it, we spread it about. Yeah, wasn't that horrible what he'd done to me? You remember that, don't you? Trying to get you offended as well. Didn't I do that? If you want to stop being offended, not get offended, keep looking forward. There's probably more than enough in there for the opportunity to get offended. You don't need to look back. But you've now got the tools, you won't get offended by the stuff in front of you either. Oh, it's quite easy. Here's a good one that we've been talking about. This kind of came up on Thursday. And then myself and Nunzi were talking about it. Yesterday, were we? And you all love me, remember? Yeah? I don't need to get you to say that. We were talking about this on Thursday about we get offended when we see people seemingly getting away with things. Yeah? Not only getting away with things, but God then blessing them. And they don't deserve it. Like the prodigal son's big brother. He doesn't deserve that. Look what they've done. I'm offended at that. Look what they've done. They're getting away with it. Just got one question to ask you. Who made you judge and jury? Who made you the final arbiter in judgment? Whose job's that? God. Yeah. And you're nae God. Got him in you. Hallelujah. In your spirit. But you're not judge, jury, and dare I say, executioner. I missed out that bit. Yeah. Try them, find them guilty, tell everybody else. Let's spread some guilt here. How can I stop being offended? Stop trying to be judge and jury. It's not your job. But we're talking about, we know how difficult that is. You know, judge and jury, they're trying one party who has done something to another party. We want to really get that party. Yeah, we want to sort them out. Judge them. No. The revelation Nunzi told me yesterday. No, we have the power and the authority. Instead of having a go at them, the party who's done the injuring, we have the power and the authority to bless the party that has been injured. So instead of speaking out your wrath and being judge and jury over the bad person, speak out blessings and healing and wholeness and prosperity and goodness and joy and peace and all good things over the person that has been hurt. You know, use some of your venom in that. Use some of your exuberance in that. Stop being judge and jury and be blesser, healer, encourager, exhorter, helper. Guys, there's only one judge in this universe, and it ain't you. I think that was blunt enough, was it? Yeah. And we all need to think about that. You know, we do. There's people out there we know and love who have been hurt, But we need to stop judging the people that have hurt them. Stop trying them. Stop trying to execute them. And bless them. Oh, you know what we should actually be doing? You know what we should actually be doing? We should be blessing both of them. Yes. Ow! I know, I'm saying it. I'm saying it. And I have to be honest. I am working my way through this. And, you know, I'd rather jump on his head than bless him. But I'm trying to be honest with you. We need to bless them. Oh, it's a, yeah, that is hard. Because it just doesn't seem fair. Yes, on our human terms. That's just not right. They're getting away with it. God, they're getting away with it. No, he's the judge. And he will. He has. Because you know all this forgiveness that we've had? You know all this forgiveness that we've had? You know that person whose head you want to jump on? They've been forgiven as well. Forgiven by God. Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Do we appreciate the finished work of Jesus Christ in our life? Oh, yes. So why are we holding things against that person when he's been forgiven because of the finished work of Jesus Christ? Man, we're going against the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's not an easy message. I'm standing in front of a mirror here, guys. I'm not talking to you. That's hard. But it's the truth. And we'll talk about forgiveness next week. Because you know what? This is... A revelation of forgiveness comes out of a revelation of the Word. So I'm not saying that everything I've said this today is not important about how much you need to study the Word and understand the Word and meditate on the Word and believe the Word. But see, if you've got unforgiveness in your life, it's going to be really hard not to be offended. A revelation of forgiveness comes from the Word. So it comes back to that. But forgiveness is so important that we're going to have a whole message on it. You know, we've had one message on how many things that to stop saying offended, 7 or 8 or 9 today, that all really just come back to being in the Word. You know, even trying to live a relationship with a servant heart, that's in the Word. That's what Jesus taught you to do. That's not Vic. That's Jesus that taught you to do that. Look forward, not back. That's just the Word as well. Because Paul wrote about that a number of times. You know, Paul wrote about all these things that could cause you problems. And that none of them would hold you back for the love of God. He doesn't even talk about the past. Why? Because it's irrelevant to him. I love that. Paul doesn't even mention it in his long list of all these things that are going to stop the love of God in your life. He doesn't even talk about the past. Why? Because we shouldn't be looking back. It shouldn't be an issue. Amazing truth that. But it all comes back to knowing and loving your Word. But there's just a little special thing about unforgiveness that we need to spend a lot of time on next week. If we've got any unforgiveness, that's going to cause us a problem. Because, you know, what the Scriptures basically say, I'm going to say it, we need to forgive everybody for everything. It's like Jesus has forgiven everybody for everything. There is not one thing in your life right now that you haven't been forgiven for. I know it's great. There's not one thing that you're going to do that hasn't been forgiven already. That's no excuse to go out and sin. But I'm just saying, forgiveness flowed at the cross. So we've been forgiven for everything, past, present, and future. Those people whose heads we want to jump on, they have as well. There can be, I'm getting on to the message next week already. There's no room for unforgiveness in the life of the believer. Or there shouldn't be. If you want to hear about that next week, come. If you don't, yeah. I'm being blunt as it is, so yeah. Hallelujah. Lots of things, guys, that we can do. Or we can joke and laugh. But you know what? We've realized over the last 4 weeks how dangerous it is to stay offended. It stops the blessings being manifest in our lives. It results in death. It ruins relationships. It breaks up churches. It is dangerous. We've seen how it can be caused. From that, we've seen how we can stop being offended and how we can cease that. Next week, we'll step through the process of forgiveness. That's the way to deal with offense. Amen. Hallelujah. No, I'm going to pray first. Pray for you first. Lord's just talking about, he's saying this mindset of servant is really important. That'll really help us not to be offended. So I'm just going to pray. If anybody, yeah, just sit. And I'm not going to give you the option. I'm just going to pray for you. I'm not going to say if anybody wants to have a better servant heart, stand up. No, I'm just going to pray for everybody because we all need it. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word this morning. I thank you especially for your focus on each one of us to have more of a servant heart, more of a servant mindset, more of a mindset to put people first before ourselves, a mindset to help rather than be helped, a mindset to serve rather than be served, a mindset to give rather than to receive. So I just speak out that revelation over every single one of us this morning. Pray that in that areas of our lives we will have our minds renewed through the scriptures of the importance of having a servant mindset, of loving others, of serving others. I just pray that every single one of us knows that in a deeper way this morning. And that every single one of us will think more like a servant as we go through our daily lives. Every single one of us will move closer to becoming the servant that Jesus spoke of. I just speak that out right now over every single one of us. A deeper revelation of living like a servant. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for our time together. I thank you for the food that has been prepared. And I thank you that you're going to bless it to our bodies. I just thank you for the rest of our fellowship time together. And thank you for the bountiful blessings that are just waiting for us in the days, weeks, and years to come. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So we'll see a nice orderly queue up there with people giving each other sandwiches and pouring soup and nobody barging. And well, no, you first. You're like, nobody will get anywhere.